research department of the Mike Church Show has learned that most people listen to this show because you want your truth neat, straight up, and never watered down.
Hey, look, mister. We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
And the best part about taking in 100-proof truth is you can drive at the same time. And you'll never get a hangover.
I'm so wasted!
The bar at the Mike Church Show opens every weekday morning at 8 a.m. exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Honey, is dinner almost ready? I've got to get to the bowling alley. Oh, and did you iron my bowling shirt today?
What would you do when faced with this terrifying situation? How about using the Butch Club? Hi, I'm Staffless Sergeant Butch Splitter. Many women today are unaware of these horrifying and unverified statistics. Every 3.8 milliseconds, an American woman is scolded, forced to do ironing, cooking, cleaning, and consents to having sex with men. Many of these atrocities against womandom could have been prevented simply by using the Butch Club. Endorsed by the National Fraternal Order of Feminists and the Association of Closet Lesbian Police Chiefs, the Butch Club is a woman's first line of offense. The Butch Club mounts easily anywhere men are and comes complete with a retractable stainless steel kitchen knife. Costing only pennies of your alimony payment per day, the Butch Club makes a great Molly Yard birthday gift. Order your own Butch Club by calling 1-800-CLUB-MEN. NARAL, NAMBLA, and NOW cards accepted. So next time you hear,
"Honey, is dinner almost ready? I've got to get to the bowling alley. Oh, and did you iron my bowling shirt today?"
Reach for the Butch Club.
Welcome back. It's Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers on a Thursday, 14 December 2017. Telephone number if you'd like to call the program. Yes, we have phone lines. 844-527-8723. 844-5-CRUSADE. Email me directly. My email address, same as it ever was, kingdude, K-I-N-G-D-U-D-E at mikechurch.com. Now, I'm going to try to find out whether or not it's a technical issue or whether or not we just have stunk the joint up in marketing our products available for Christmas sale. I spent a year and 2 months of my life about 3 years ago conditioning, editing, and then translating a book that was written in 1734 called Humility of Heart. It's the best book ever written on that subject, humility. And as Padre Gaetano Maria de Bergamo says in the intro, no saint is in heaven that was not humble. There were saints that were great at charity. There were saints that were brave and were martyrs. There were saints that were holy and were confessors and converted millions. But none of them got there that weren't humble. That's the whole thesis of the book. And he's right. You read the book and it'll humble you. It's a life changer. And again, as I said, if the world were really turning back towards Christendom and back towards the church and the faith, we would sell 1 million copies of that book a year. Trust me when I say that's not happening. And I don't think 1 million copies of any republishing of the book is being sold. Because if there were, then there would be people glomming on to correcting the errors that we corrected in our edition. So we know that that's not happening. That doesn't say anything about the book. Ask anyone that's ever read the book. It'll change. It's a game changer. It'll change your life. All someone has to do is have a little bit of goodwill to pick that book up, read it, and your life will be altered for the better. 57 pages are in our edition that are in no other edition you can find anywhere. The footnotes have all been corrected, etc. So it's just a magnificent little book. It's in paperback. So desperate are we for just some indication that there is a sign of life out there surrounding anything that we do here, or that I do, because everything I'm like Charlie Brown this Christmas. Everything I touch just turns to rocks and mud. 4 people can go to my website at mikechurch.com/shop, and you can get a copy of that book for 80% off. In other words, it cost me $4 to have it printed. 80% off. Humility of Heart, paperback edition. The easiest way to find it, if you want to be the first one to try and get there, mikechurch.com/books. And then you'll go right there. So I throw that out there, seeding the clouds, so to speak. Back to the issues at hand here today. So the world has gone me too gaga. And yet the world has not gone me too gaga in the appropriate way. Because no one's looking for the ultimate cause of this. And no one has analyzed any of this madness that's happening out there. And trying to get to the bottom of, okay, well, why are there so many? Christopher was telling me now that Morgan Spurlock, the alleged wunderkind of documentary filmmaker. He made a movie back in 2009 called Supersize Me, I think. It's about McDonald's. It's come out. What did he say? I did it. I'm guilty. I harassed. I fondled. I kissed. I hugged. This is a mass hysteria, like the mass tulip hysteria. So, Claire Berlinski writes about this, obviously a female, and she even wrote that she shopped this essay around, and 6 major news website publishers told her no. They went, yeah, we agree, Claire, but we can't publish this. Being male is being made illegal. By the by, that's why I played that clip from the Butch Club. That's from my anthology collection from the Mike Church Show band from 1993. It's one of my favorite oldies there. there's an adage that you couldn't make that today, Mike. You're right, I probably couldn't. Although I would, and I would defy anyone to try and stop me here on the Crusade Channel. So under the title of The Warlock Hunt, the Me Too moment has morphed into a moral panic that poses as much danger to women as it does to men. Ms. Berlinski makes some great points. She does some great things with her writing skills, but she comes to the wrong conclusion, and she doesn't even approach the ultimate cause. And again, I gave it the ultimate cause last segment. What started all this? What's at the core? What's at the genesis moment of all this? The war against the family. You've got to get women out of the house. You got to get them out of the baby-making business. You got to get them out of the wifing business. You got to get them out of looking for, longing for marriage and good husbands. And hey, as an addendum, We got to get out of the business of making good husbands. No, we want louts. We want millennials in skinny jeans. That's what we want. We don't want knights in shining armor. Does anyone even, is there any women, are there any girls who are even taught anymore to fantasize or to desire for the proverbial knight in shining armor to come up? Take them away and marry them? Well, no, I don't want my daughters to be married. They're too young. How old are they? They're like 28, stupid. Shouldn't get married till they're 40. Then they've had a career and they've really had a life. Oh, you mean a career's a life, not like the, you know, the one that the creator planned for them, right? This is where Belinsky totally misses the boat, but her analysis up to then is correct. The things, and I'm going to skip around because it's an 11-page long essay, so I'll bounce around, cut and paste, copy and paste to get to the end. Here's what she writes in part. The things men and women naturally do, flirt, play, lewdly joke, desire, seduce, tease, now become harassment only by virtue of the words that follow the description of the act, one of the generic form. Oh, I froze! Oh, I was terrified. Were you? Well, I think I was. Oh, you think you were? Yeah, but she is a witch. Burn her! Right? It doesn't matter how the man felt about it. The honest to understand the interaction and its emotional subtleties falls entirely on him. But why? Perhaps she... Now, I can guess at her emphasis points because she's italicized them. So, I'm going to pass that on. Christopher 2, Mike, nothing. Perhaps she should have understood his behavior to be harmless, clumsy, sweet, but misdirected, maladroit, or tacky, but lacking in malice... Sufficient to cost him such arduous punishment? Oh, no, dude. If you're a male, you did it, you pay. Even if we can't define what it is that you did, you pay. Touching knees? Capital hanging offense. Smooching at a Christmas party? He gone. There is actually a precedent here, a dangerous one that's being said, and it's not guilty till proven innocent. There's some nominalism going on here, but it's physical nominalism. Let's change the name of things, and let's make them what they aren't. But they do help and forward and contribute to our revolution. Now, this is the Mike Churchill here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. I'm about to say something that may anger some of you, and that's this. The ultimate cause of this is the war against the family, and I have to say, again, I'm going to interject this many times during this discussion, exactly how did the architects of the sexual revolution think the sexual part was going to play itself out? Hmm? Don't forget... This is all being blamed on the guys. Wait a minute. That's why I gave the example of the TV show Sex and the City. Those women, look at the movie that just came out, Bad Moms 2. What do they want to do? They want to be sluts, male, promiscuous sluts like men. They want to be able to have it when they want it. How they want it, and if it comes in the workplace, hey, great, I got paid too. Mr. Church, please, you're being in thin. No, I'm not. I most certainly am not. I asked the question again from members of Gal-Qaeda. How did you think the sexual part of the sexual revolution, which, by the way, requires an act of mortal sin to be committed, how did you think it was supposed to play out? Is there a playbook here for how, you know, the first act is supposed to go? for how the permission slip is supposed to be granted, for how the question is to be broached as to, hey, you know, you kind of like me, I kind of like you. We ought to be doing it. Because that's what it's all about, right? It's like, folks, make an analogy here. The same analogy that is made with homosexuals, Marxist sodomite vampires. They want us to acknowledge gay, but they don't want us to acknowledge buggery. Why not? If you're gay, that's what you do. You're asking me to acknowledge what it is that you do when the door is closed and you're in the privacy of your bedroom. But when I tell you what it is, and then I tell you the statistics about how many men die as a result of it, and how many lives are ruined, oh, all of a sudden I'm a bigot. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm trying to be charitable. But you want to remove the sex part. She's like, well, my 11-year-old's coming out. Coming out to do what? Oh, he thinks he's gay. Okay, is he going to consummate it? What do you mean, Mike? Meet a church, please. Stop being honest. You can't go all out in this sexual revolution thing and not have the damn sex is the point. Who do these people think they are? I mean, really, folks, we are so far gone. Collectively, with any attachment to logic whatsoever, you can't. Let me say this again as clearly and slowly as is possible on the off chance that someone may be listening on the preview stream that never heard this show before. You can't have a sexual revolution without the sex. And it wouldn't be a revolution if it was married people doing it, because there's nothing revolutionary about that, pal. So what was revolutionary about sex? Well, adultery normalized. Oh, yeah, I'm sleeping with her husband. That's okay. She knows. Yeah, she's got one on the side, too. Oh, yeah, Chip and I were doing it, but after work, of course. But, you know, he got a little too kinky. You can't have the sexual revolution without the sex. So, again, how exactly did you think this was going to play out? And by the by, may I also say, inside sacramental marriages where children are being produced, Christopher, Celeste, Maggie, have y'all seen anyone in the chat room, anyone that dares to call this show? Have you seen a story where there's a Me Too inside of a married family? There should be. If it's just about the sex, and if it's just about inappropriate sex, as I pointed out a couple of days ago, last week, and I'll point it out again, there's only one form of appropriate sex. When you say it's inappropriate, okay, you imply there's an appropriate. Well, what's appropriate? Inside marriage. Marriage. Inside sacramental marriage. It's appropriate for appropriate purposes. We want to have our Sex and the City cake and eat it too. We want to have our MTV Big Brother house cake and eat it too. You don't get to do that. Make a choice. And if you choose a sexual revolution, okay, well, then you have to have the sex part. Are you going to write a manual on how adultery and how sex outside of wedlock ought to work? Maybe you should. There'd be a lot less Me Toos. Back to the story.
Sex outside of warlock.
Sex outside of warlock. That's right, because it's a warlock hunt, according to Claire. But male witches don't want to be called warlocks. They want to be called witches, according to Ralph Sarchi. Where was I at? In recent weeks, I've acquired new power, she writes. I've cast my mind over the ways I could use them. I could now on a whim destroy the career of an Oxford don who at a drunken Christmas party danced with me, grabbed a handful of my bum, and slurred, "I've been dying to do this to Berlinski all term." That is precisely what happened. I am telling the truth. I will be believed, as I should be. But here's the thing. I did not freeze, nor was I terrified. Well, you know, Miss Berlinski, you just got off the script then, sweetheart. It happens. Our tutorials, which took place one-on-one with no chaperones, were livelier intellectually for that sublimated undercurrent. He was an Oxford Don and had power over me. Sensu stricto. I was a 20-year-old undergrad, but I also had power over him. Power sufficient to cause a venerable Don to make a perfect fool of himself at a Christmas party. And this is another thing that we have been discussing here on this show. All these women and these actresses who are now like, oh, yeah, he did it to me, too. Yeah, me, too. Me, too. Me, too. Now throwing the guilt all around. Well, wait a minute. You say that this industry is all corrupt and all, but you stayed in it. You kept going to the auditions. Why'd you do that? Because you wanted an Oscar. Yeah, Mitter Church, please stop. We don't want to hear any facts. Oh, you're a rape enabler, Mike. No, I'm not. And then she gets into more about this Don, this Oxford guy. And again, I'm going to skip around here because it's a very lengthy essay. Claire Berlitz. You can read about this at MikeChurch.com today in today's pile of prep. And again, I have a very extended version of this essay. It hath not been published because I gave the guys at the Daily Caller the first shot at it. By the by, I guess the cart is broken. 80% off 4 copies of Humility of Heart in paperback at MikeChurch.com/shop. 80%. That's for the first 4 to get there. But what if I feel differently now? She asks. What if, perhaps moved by the testimony of the many women who have come forward in recent weeks, I were to realize that the ambient sexual culture I meekly accepted as amusing was in fact repulsive and loathsome? Well, see, at least she's honest about this. The hookup culture, the sexual revolution, created this. Again, what did people think it was going to create, and why are you so shocked by it? There's nothing surprising here. What if I now realize it did me great emotional damage, harm so profound that only now do I recognize how damaged I became? Apparently, some women feel precisely this way. Natalie Portman, for example, has re-examined her life in light of recent news. I didn't even see this one. Here's what Princess Amidala, Natalie Portman, said. Quote, when I heard everything coming out, I was like, wow, I'm so lucky that I haven't had this. And then on reflection, I was like, okay, definitely never been assaulted. Definitely not. But I have had discrimination or harassment on almost everything I've ever worked on in some way. She said during Sunday's candid talk at Vulture Festival LA. The more she re-examined her experiences, other incidents came into sharp relief. I went from thinking I don't have a story to thinking, oh, wait, I have 100 stories. Me too. And I think a lot of people are having these reckonings with themselves of things that we just took for granted as like, this is part of the process. Close quote. Really? Really? Yes, really. If I were suddenly to feel as Miss Portman now feels, says Miss Berlinski, I could destroy them all just by naming names and truthfully describing a flirtation or moment of impropriety. All of the interchanges I am replaying in my mind would meet the highly elastic contemporary definition of harassment, a category vague enough to compass all the typical flirtation that brings joy and amusement to so many of our lives. All the vulgar humor that says, we're among friends, we may speak frankly. It becomes harassment only by virtue of 3 words. Quote, I felt demeaned. Close quote. And by the way, ladies, you do not have to feel demeaned on the day you were stared at. The day that some office space perv put his hand on your knee. It only matters what you feel today. Now, if today you're demeaned, well then, from 25 years ago, yes, he's guilty. And yes, he should be brought up in front of a tribunal. And yes, we should find out all the other women that he stared at, touched a knee of, maybe even gave a hug in the office. And we should end his career and make sure that he never steps place into a workplace again and is never left in a room alone with a female. Is that really what is wanted out of this. Folks, I'm here to tell you that's not what is wanted out of this. What is wanted is to demean men, to further make millennial, metrosexual, eunuch losers out of more. That's, of course, eunuchs were castrated back in the day so that they could hang out in the king's court and they wouldn't desire any of the king's concubines. I don't know how many people know that. Mr. Church, you're just making that. No, I'm not. It's kind of a fact of history. Well, I have an idea. If we have women that are CEOs of companies, why don't you require men to be castrated before? Hey, this knocks out all the population control things you want to do, takes care of the birth control pills, takes care of all the abortions. I mean, nothing. If you got a bunch of guys running around that are castrated, well, whoo-hoo. Now it's a real brave new world. Now, the species can't continue and Moloch is now triumphant, but hey, why not? Why did the king use or staff eunuchs in his court? Why? And look, we could go all the way back to biblical kings. There's references to eunuchs in the Old Testament. Why? Well, apparently, even before this sexual revolution, men seemingly desired to have relations with women. Imagine that. I never heard of such an outrage.
I haven't either.
Hey, I have an idea. You think this may be possible now? I don't know. I'll have to study the Bible just a little closer, but you think that in some of those passages that we read about in the New Testament, like, for example, where Martha washes our Lord's feet. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Of course, I'm being facetious. How far back do you want to go with this? Do not mistake me for a rape apologist. Harvey Weinstein stands credibly accused of rape. Then she goes into who ought to be accused, blah, 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 blah. Revolutions against, again, this is Claire Berlinski writing at the American Interest. Revolutions against real injustice have a tendency, however, to descend into paroxysms of vengeance that descend upon guilty and innocent alike. We're getting too close. By the by, that's how the French Revolution began. Let's get some people that we suspect of not being loyal to the tennis court oath, even though we have no evidence, you know, they're acting kind of suspicious. Let's accuse them, let's convict them, and then let's pass laws that say you're not allowed to oppose us. And if you do, you're a traitor and we can hang you. How do you think the Soviets were successful in cleansing the ranks of the Russian people and getting rid of all their enemies? Got to have a boogeyman. Hysteria is in the air, she writes. The overbroad definition of sexual harassment is well known, is a well-known warning sign. The overbroad language of the law suspects portend the descent of the French Revolution into the Great Terror. This revolution risks going the way revolutions so often do, and the consequences will not be just awful. No, will not just be awful for men; they will be awful for women. Well, here's where Ms. Berlinski and I part company here, because the consequences of the sexual revolution have already been awful and are awful for women. Now. Again, Mitter Church, please, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm getting ready to do it. I'm getting ready to do it. You got to do it. What am I going to do? Here you go. It's not a drill. So, as Claire Berlinski writes this about the warlock hunt and the Me Too moment that has morphed into a moral panic that poses as much danger to women as to men. Now, she says it poses danger because, to her, it's dangerous. Because it endangers the results of the sexual revolution. It endangers, if you will, the result of the war on the family. And that war must continue. It also endangers that paradigm. That paradigm shift that has occurred. What does that shift say? That shift says that women must be alongside men in every occupation possibly known to man. Now, she's worried about this revolution of all these accusations from these Me Too-ers being to the detriment of women. Oh, I say that, hey, you got a sexual revolution. You participate in it. You want it. You want it to continue, but you don't want the sex part. Oh, no, they want the sex part. So to the charge, this is going to be damaging, as dangerous for women as it is for men. Oh, yeah. But Miss Berlitz, it's already been a disaster for women. The sex revolution has already produced calamity for tens, if not hundreds of millions of American and Western civilized women. Mr. Church, please, that's just the strength talking. How so, right? You're asking? Well, this is why I had to play the Catholic air raid warning siren. Ooh. We ought to consider for just a moment, what is a woman? And what is the greatest model of a woman that we could ever possibly elevate or hold up and say, now that's a woman. Oh, hubba, hubba, hubba. Some of you thinking, oh, he's going to talk about Marilyn Monroe now. Sure. Who is the model? And God gave us the model. Who's the model? The mother of our Lord. You know her as Mary. Mary of Nazareth is the model. Yeah, but Mitter Church, she never engaged in any sexual relation with anyone, including even St. Joseph. Yeah, I know that. She's still the model. Beautiful. Remained a virgin, but key point being, virginal until she was wedded to the spouse, that is the Holy Ghost, that gave us the Christ child. Mary. Also, what else did she do? She's the first martyr. That's right. Her heart was pierced right there at the foot of the cross. Did she run like scared St. Peter and all the rest of them? No. She was standing there with the other Marys and St. John the Evangelist. Another role model. What else did she do we might want to emulate? Well, when we go to the first part of our Lord's public ministry, where do we find ourselves? At a wedding in Cana. When she says, hey, Lama, hey, son, you know, captain's run out of the good wine at the wedding here. It's going to be a brawl. You need to do something about it. And our Lord said, woman, what business is this of mine? My hour is not yet come. What does she say? Does she go like, hey, me too, yelled at me. No, she goes to the chief steward, and what does she say? Hey, you, see him? Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. So again, another model. Whatever God tells you to do, whatever our Lord told you to do or tells you to do it. Carry the wish out. All the way through his public life, when she's following him down the road of Calvary, all the way up to Golgotha, where they're going to nail him to a tree, as St. Peter says. What does she do? She's trying to get to him. Why? So she can tell him that she loves him. She loves her son. She loves her child. She loves her family. Another example. What else does she do? Mitter Church, please. That's enough. Tradition has it that after our Lord's death, she went to the tomb. She's the discoverer again. She brings Savior into the world, and then she discovers the Savior after having resurrected. That's not enough, though. Tradition has, I said tradition, this is God, that's gospel. Tradition has it that after the ascension, what does she do after that for an encore? Let's go back to the whole family part. She moves around with the apostles. That's what the tradition says. She dies surrounded by the remaining living apostles who have yet to be martyred. In other words, she kept our Lord's family together at every stage of Our Lady's life. She provides the perfect example. I don't think the Mother of God would don a pantsuit with shoulder pads, head off into the workplace so that she could participate in the rat race, number one, leave her kids at home or not have any kids, number two, and then be chased around a desk by Harvey Weinstein. No, I think she might choose another path. So to the charge that women are going to suffer after the Me Too crisis, they already have suffered because they've been told that that emulation of the Virgin, the Mother of the Savior, is not something to be emulated. If we're told that we ought to have an imitation of our Lord, especially we Catholics, why shouldn't you have an imitation of Our Lady? They've already been deprived. And enough is enough. Isn't it? Me too. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. We had a rash of phone calls in there for a moment. I mean, the phone exploded. All three lines were actually used at one point. And since Joe is still on hold and survived. Hey, Joe, New York?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing, brother, sister?
It's good to talk to you. I've been listening to you for years. I just wanted to thank you for what you do. I enjoy your show. Besides the history that you've taught me that I never really learned before in school, you brought me back to Jesus, which I can't thank you enough.
Well, maybe the Holy Ghost did. I just didn't get in the way. But if you like the history, there's some great history coming up later on today.
All right. Yeah.
What part of New York you had, Joe?
Well, I live 60 miles from New York City. But I live where I grew up. I only grew up with my school had like 30 kids graduating in it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, brother.
No, I love it.
So you're north of New York City there, right? So you're almost to Connecticut then.
I'm on the opposite side of the Hudson River. I'm west of the Hudson.
Oh, okay. All right. I got you.
I work in the city. I work for the utility company, but it makes me appreciate my home that much more.
They have such things, utility companies in New York now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, these are wholly publicly controlled commodities, aren't they?
They are.
Okay, I thought so.
They help to support my family, though. So.
Hey, I'm happy to hear that you are gainfully employed, sir. Now, you say this is the first time that you called the show, right?
Yeah, I've been wanting to for years, but I'm nervous. I'm not one really to
talk. Ah, you're doing just fine. Going just fine.
But I just wanted to thank you, honestly, because I buy your books, your DVDs, even the CDs and the audios. The stuff that you've come out with is awesome. Really, I can't thank you enough.
Well, Joe, you're very welcome, and I'm glad that you called. Now, what's the name of the little town that only has 30 kids graduating in the high school class?
Chester, New York.
Chester.
Yeah.
So that's funny because there's a Chester and there's a West Chester.
Yeah.
No, I've been to West Chester. I've never been to Chester.
Yeah, I'm 45 minutes from West Chester.
Okay, well, on my way to the St. Benedict Center last year, me and the Pole, the route that we took found us in West Chester, and we stopped at a little pizza joint there at outside of a golf course and had lunch, and it was a pleasant part of the drive. So, Joe from Chester, Pennsylvania, first time caller here today, and Joe, we're glad that you made the call, brother.
Thanks.
What?
Thanks for taking the call.
What did I say? Oh, I said Westchester, Pennsylvania. I meant New York. Joe, good to talk to you, brother. Nice to make your acquaintance. Yeah. Blessed Advent to you and yourn.
Thank you. Same to you, sir.
All right, you're very welcome. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. 844-5-CRUSADE. Let me get back to my my piece here. By the way, the chat room is open at MikeChurch.com. Click the Mike Church Show live chat button at the top of the page. I want to finish just one more stanza, and then we'll go to the news. Now, this is Claire Berlinski again writing at the, what's the name of the website? The American Interest. Now, again, her setup is good. I think her accusation against her fellow women, or sexual troubadours in the workplace, is good. Her warnings, I think, are correct for the wrong reasons, but her conclusion is bass-ackwards. It's wrong. But that doesn't mean that there isn't some good stuff in here. Romance involves the most complex... Wait a minute. Okay, so she's talking about what happens in the workplace with all these Me Toos and all this other stuff. We missed the story of Michael Oreskes, who is the news director of NPR. Apparently, he touched some coworker's knee 20 years ago. And, no, he kissed her. Kissed her. At NPR. She remembered it, ratted him out. I mean, really, ladies, seriously. Destroying men's lives because they kissed you? Because you have a... You know what? I was thinking about this the other day. Who can remember 20 years ago? I can't remember 10 years ago. What's the fact of history? Not intimate details. Oh, I know what I was feeling then. Did you? Could you possibly remember that? And to the detriment? Tire? Now, there are men that do have families that are being accused of this stuff. They're now saying, yep, I'm guilty. I did it. They're not guilty. Look, all they're trying to do is preserve their ability to earn money. They're not sorry for it because they don't even know what they did. And that's the whole point about the... You can't have the sexual revolution without having the sexual part, which seems to be lost on most people. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. Harvey Weinstein, we must burn, we all agree. But there is a universe of difference between the charges that Weinstein... and those that caused Michael Oreskes his career at NPR. It is hard to tell from the press accounts, but initial reports suggested he was fired because his accusers, both anonymous. Oh, and by the way, you get to do all this accusation, Me Too stuff, anonymously. Say, kiss them. Woo, that's a career ruiner there. A kiss? 20 years ago. In another place of business. Since then, other reports have surfaced of what NPR calls subtler transgressions. Yes. He grabbed a coworker's, and I'm theorizing here, pencil and sharpened it for her and said, hey, baby, you ever seen anyone sharpen a pencil like this? That's a hanging offense today. They are subtle to the point of near invisibility. It seems Michael Oreskes liked to kiss women. Now, it is an embarrassing faux pas to kiss a woman who does not want to be kissed, but it happens all the time. Kissing a woman is an early stage of courtship. It is the one way that men ask the question, would you like more? Courtship is not a phenomenon so minor to our behavioral repertoire that we can readily expunge it from the workplace. It is central to human life. Men and women are attracted to each other. The human race could not perpetuate itself otherwise. Well, now you're getting to the point. What's the ultimate cause here? Destroy the family. They've already gone a long way towards that. Now let's destroy any future families that might be formed by women meeting men in a workplace. Let's not have that. Now, if you meet a woman in a workplace, that's okay. The difficulty of ascertaining whether one's passions are reciprocated is the theme of 90% of human literature and every romantic comedy or pop song ever written. Romance involves the most complex of human emotions, desire, the most powerful of human drives. It's so easy to read the signals wrong. Every honest man will tell you that at times he has misread these signals. And so will every honest woman. Well, I thought he liked me. The insistence that an unwanted kiss is always about power, not courtship, simply isn't a serious theory of the case. Not when the punishment of the crime is so grave. Men, too, are entitled to the benefit of the doubt and even to a presumption of innocence. All right, I'm going to pause here. We have not played the secret soundbite of the day from the St. Therese of Lisieux. Have yourself a Terry Little Christmas contest. We will do that sometime today. Might even play it twice. Want to remind you that the Barrett Brief will be back today for another live show as Richard continues to explore the possibility that he might have some kind of a vocation in this whole talk radio thing here on the Crusade Channel. I hope that you will listen at 2 this afternoon, immediately following the Reverse Deception radio show. And that will be a 2 Central, 3 Eastern. Meanwhile, my website at MikeChurch.com, company website at CrusadeChannel.com. It's the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, king-size truth from radio-sized speakers.